Polar Opposites, the Namibian and Swedish School Systems, by Herman Hallberg. If you had asked me in spring 2011 where I would be spending the coming year, I probably wouldn't have answered Namibia. In fact, I wouldn't even have been able to point it out on a map. So, when my parents first told me that Namibia, a huge, desolate, distant country in the southern part of Africa, would be my home for the next year, I came up with a myriad of reasons not to go. But on the 15th of August, that's exactly where I found myself, frightened, apprehensive, and, most surprisingly, in the southern part of Africa, cold. During my time in Namibia, I studied at St. Paul's College, a private Catholic school with a reputation for being the very best in the country. Compared to my Swedish school, it was like night and day, where Swedish schools focus on questioning, discussing, and creating independently thinking students, St. Paul's primary goal was to fill the learners' heads with as much information as possible to ensure the best grades possible in the national end-of-year exams. This demanded a very effective learning environment and generally very strict teachers. A normal day would be as follows. Registration would start at 7:15 a.m., and during registration, all necessary notes would be handed to the students, as well as information concerning things like field trips or exams. After registration came the first lesson, the constant. The constant could be several things: assembly, in which the entire school would assemble and prizes and honorifics would be handed out by the principal; church service, in which all students would go to the school chapel to be fed their spiritual, Catholic sustenance; or a regular lesson. After the constant, the day's other lessons would follow. Each lesson lasted 45 minutes, and there were only two breaks, one from 9:30 to 10 and another from 11:30 to 11:45. All lessons and breaks were held at the same time for all grades, which allowed for plenty of interaction across age groups. There was no school lunch. Instead, students could either bring their own food from home to eat during the breaks, or, as most students opted to do, they could buy snacks at the tuck shop. These snacks consisted of crisps, deep-fried sausages, and other unhealthy foods, and were generally washed down by soda. However, what I still haven't brought up was the actual workload. The Namibian system simply demanded more of its students than its Swedish counterpart. Tests were scheduled twice a week, so-called cycle tests, and added to those tests was a multitude of assignments such as essays, pages and pages of maths, and regular vocabulary tests for language classes. But the culmination of efforts to keep up with classes during the year came at the end of the last term. Exams. 2 weeks of school completely devoted to having hours upon hours of tests. Tests that covered everything from the entire year on each subject. Half of your grade was based on your results in the exams, and there was no opportunity for a second attempt should you have been sick or otherwise unable to go to school. The pressure on the students was ridiculous. Of course, the students couldn't live with all that pressure without having a bit of fun. Unlike in Sweden, where most socializing is done away from school, most students in Namibia have the majority of their in-week fun at after-school activities. These were activities organized by the school staff and could be anything from hockey and football to French club and debating. These activities were not mandatory, but in my experience, students who did not attend at least one were viewed as slightly lazy. The activities were also of pivotal importance for your future prospects of getting into a good university. The principal was fond of telling a story at assemblies about a student from St. Paul's who had achieved top grades. His marks averaged above 90%, which is absurdly good, but still he was not accepted into his desired South African university. Why, you may ask? because he used all his time to study for his good marks. He didn't have any time left to attend even a single after-school activity. There were both positive and negative aspects to the Namibian school system. On the one hand, the sheer amount of facts blasted into my head was ridiculous. From complex biology to Shakespeare, the Namibian system moved at a pace far greater than that of its Swedish counterpart. After that single year in their system, I found I had outpaced my Swedish peers in all subjects I had taken in Namibia. As I was only gone 1 year, I also retained the skills that the Swedish system looked for, questioning and reasoning. Despite these advantages, I could see the flaws in the Namibian system. I'm a fairly intelligent student, and I've never had to work extremely hard to achieve my desired grades. This meant that in Sweden, I was basically left to myself by teachers, as they had to focus on getting the weaker students to pass rather than giving me more challenges. In Namibia, it was often the other way around. The system was perfect for me, as it gave me ample opportunities to truly test my mettle. However, for students who did not find everything so easy, the Namibian system must have been a nightmare, as it was often truly your own responsibility to keep up. If you had trouble doing this, there was no way to save you from falling behind. In conclusion, I believe that the ideal system would be some sort of middle ground between the Namibian and Swedish systems. A system where the gifted students would be allowed to continue onwards and the slower students would be helped on their way. Maybe that system is unattainable, I do not know. But I do know this. My year in Namibia helped me greatly on my path to achieving a complete education.